big weekend in the National Hockey League, and we're here to talk about it all. We are the Real Kipper and Bourne Show, National Hour, live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365, Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McGee, Derek Brandeo, and Jake Schultz for the next hour. Oh, see, Sammy, we talked about,
it's Jen today.
It's not Jake the Snake.
Well, in my defense, it's literally someone different every single day, so.
Okay.
Listen, I don't know. Jen, Jake, whoever.
You got the
J's.
You got the first initial right.
Not bad.
That's
not
something bad. For you.
Percentage.
I don't care.
You didn't get it as right as the Vancouver Canucks or the Calgary Flames on the weekend. Both winners. Both
Canucks are fixed.
Right in the mix. In the Western Conference, these teams aren't going away anytime soon. As far as what we saw here in Toronto Saturday night was a very impressive 60 minutes out of a team that had every built-in excuse to just say
schedule loss, and they came out with
Did they mention the travel plans on the broadcast at all? I didn't hear that.
Oh, come on. You thought it was overdone?
Like every chance they get all their flight. It's not that they're not taking a ship. They flew it.
Oh, my God. Thank God.
Felt dicey.
Thank God you put a P at the end of it.
They're
dicey.
Not, like, taking an intercontinental flight.
It was the least
you
took
flight.
A ship, I think.
Like, give me a break. It's on a sailboat. They flew from Carolina on a first-class flight. They got a police escort. Well, they're professional athletes. Oh, my God. Cry me a river.
Clearly, you know. Going on. Clearly, you know nothing about being spoiled.
No, you're right.
I'm telling you. And it's
spoiled to do a show with you every day, buddy.
You're so sweet. We're creatures of habit routine.
Yeah.
And it could go one of two ways, but it is a rallying point. Like it could have been just another road trip, another time you come in at a certain amount of at 4:30, whatever, for a 7 o'clock puck drop, and you shut the music off at the same time. Now you got something to kind of rally around. Who was it last year that came in late?
Detroit.
And Detroit, same thing. Do you remember when they
canceled the game? It was like they were later than Vancouver was.
Do you remember them celebrating the win like they just won in double overtime in game 7?
Right.
Like it was a big deal to them.
Right.
And this will be one of those that you're going to remember right through the rest of the season Vancouver.
It's amazing that they were able to overcome that adversity of having to fly from Carolina on their perfectly beautiful jet with catered food.
Hey, come on.
The Canucks have been through it.
So what you're saying
they
is whether or not they came in late or not, they were going to just slap your Toronto Maple Leafs silly
Saturday
night.
They should have gone into the Maple Leafs locker room and soundproofed it, put headphones over them so that they didn't know about those parameters of them traveling. Because the second they have any reason.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to be easy? Yeah.
Lay an egg.
Well, that Canucks team has been in the midst of trade turmoil and interpersonal drama. They had a losing skid at one point. They've been injured. You know, to come into Toronto and win that game, to get a shutout is a hell of a showing. Quinn Hughes with a captainly performance. That guy, has anyone, maybe Cale Makar skates like him, has anyone moved laterally in NHL history like Quinn Hughes?
Yeah, well, I saw Brian Leetch in his heyday.
But I don't think it was different, was it not?
No, they're built differently.
They're not as water bug left and right.
No. Quinn Hughes is lighter.
Yes.
Than,
right.
Like, people underestimated how strong and built Brian Leetch was.
Right. Like this is a different type of, I'm not saying they're not elite offensive guys. Yeah. Just the way Hughes moves is like, you cannot pin him down.
No.
Can't.
No, he's impressive. Corner.
He plays half the game and he controls half the game.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Okay? Yep.
He scored the goal that bounced up in the air, and then he sets up the one that really put it out of reach to Kiefer Sherwood.
And if anybody ever thought, it's Pedersen or JT Miller's team. No. It's Quinn Hughes' team.
Totally Quinn Hughes' team.
And I'm telling you, I don't know what's happening in that dressing room. One getting shopped, two getting shopped, both staying, whatever. That guy's got a big voice on what happens from here on in.
It's funny how wins and losses affect the temperature, though. Like, if winning a few games turns the dial down on that room, does it give them a chance to heal? Can they come together on the differences over winning and not have to trade a good
player? If they are shopping them, as some people believe that they are, or aggressively, you're still not going to make a trade for the sake of making a trade. You're going to make one that is there that you believe in, and I don't know how easy that's going to be. So it's not necessarily that you're hoping that they can necessarily, you know, live happily ever after. It just may be that they got to stay together because there's no other options that are available to us right now. But to your point, string a couple wins together, get Hronek back now in the lineup, and start feeling a little better about yourself and keep going.
I thought Pettersson on Saturday night was fantastic.
Played hard. Good night.
Played really, really hard. Good defensively.
It's so funny, and
he looked good to me.
Yeah, it's so funny because obviously, you know, we can't watch as much Vancouver. Vancouver fans can't watch as much Toronto. You get together for a game.
Why can't you?
Well, you know, there's 32 teams.
I've seen a lot of the first period and a half of a Vancouver Canucks game.
Yeah, fair enough.
There's no one
in
the
country. I do choose them over most teams, yes. I will say.
You know who's watched a lot? Our next guest, Gary Galli. Let's welcome him in. Former NHLer, color analyst for Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, and a guy who's got a tremendous feel on what's going on throughout Canada, coast to coast. And we'll start there. Gals, thanks for joining us. And just your thoughts on a team that had every built-in excuse to lose, I guess, Saturday night, but not according to our producer, Sammy. Tell them we're creatures of habit. We don't like this stuff. We don't like curveballs sitting around in a plane waiting for de-icing.
Well, you know, wins and losses, if we could predict them, we'd all be rich, right? It's just at that time of year, you know, you're hitting the middle of the season. You're hitting a time when some teams are going through some injuries. Not everyone's super healthy, maybe. There are some guys are banged up. I think there's a break that's coming up really soon. There's going to be some players playing, but a pretty large break in the schedule coming up in February. Teams are trying to bank points away, get themselves in good positions before the break so they can not only enjoy the break but come back feeling like they have an opportunity. So we're seeing a lot of log jamming in some areas, not necessarily at the top. There's going to be always positioning at the top, but we're seeing a lot of log jamming, especially in the Eastern Conference within the wild card races. It's gotten quite interesting, but the West looks more settled. But certainly I think we're going to see a lot more results in games that are maybe a little more shocking to us than we're used to seeing. Every time I expect to see a team win a game, they don't. And when I go, they don't have a chance in this one, they find a way to win. So that's what makes the game great. I think a lot of the teams that were struggling a little bit are starting to get a little bit of a run, especially in the East. We've seen Ottawa get on a good run. We've seen Montreal on a heater now. Detroit's on a bit of a heater. The only team that's really – Pittsburgh got on a heater. The only teams that, to me, that are really – are really struggling out of it is you look at a team like Buffalo that everyone thought was going to be better, and for some reason they just can't seem to find the magic formula to improve there. It's really surprising and actually a bit disappointing.
So with this Canucks team, like, what can a win like that do for the temperature around the team? Like, it's just felt like an open sore there, like everything constantly agitating it, and is there some chance here that this is a turning point for them?
Well, every time a team wins a big game or, an unexpected win, it always builds character, right? It builds character within your room. Montreal playing in Chicago and then going right into Colorado and winning and actually outplaying them for 2/3 of the game. That's a character builder. That brings you on to the next game, helps you push forward. So for Vancouver, you got to think these kind of a win like that is a character building, moment for the team. Obviously, all the talk about all the other stuff that's going on the side is getting in the way and gooing up some of it maybe. But I got to think that's starting to settle down a bit now. It's starting to, within them, I'm not saying it's settling down out in the media empire, but I'm saying in that locker room and around those guys, I would think it's settling. And regardless of what's going to happen moving forward in the future there, the one thing you have to do is play well now, and everyone has to play well. And I think that Rick Tocchet, it's not an easy job he has, but you know, I think the get win in Toronto is a nice one when you can go, hey, okay, we can do this. We can play better than we have, and we just showed it. We can gut games out. We can win games. Let's get on this thing. We're not that far away. We're closer than we think, but still we've got to make some alterations, and we got to play consistently better in a lot of areas.
As far as the Calgary Flames are they closer than we thought as well? Connor Zary goes down, and 2-1 against LA. Wolf's made a believer out of everybody that this guy's going to be a premier goalie for many, many years ahead here. I mean, where is this program in your eyes going into the back half of the season?
Well, we know goaltending is a huge confidence builder for any hockey team. If you don't have confidence in your goaltending, then you really never, I don't think, the team never really plays to their capabilities, because if you go into a game unsure of whether you can win because of your goaltending, then are you ever really playing to win, or you're just playing not to lose? Overprotective of certain areas of the ice, not allowing your goalie to do his job and earn it. And that's exactly what we're seeing with some teams. Calgary's no different. I think Wolf's been a really, I don't want to say he's a surprise, because I think they knew they had a potential very good goaltender in him. I think he played really well down in the American Hockey League. I think when he came up to Calgary, he always played well, and not a big goalie, but at the same time, moves really well, tracks the puck well, just as a real gamer kind of goaltender. I really like the way he plays, and I think that he instills confidence in the guys in front of him. Look what happened in Colorado. They shifted two goaltenders, and this is a team now that believes they can win every game they go out every night, where earlier in the season, they didn't think that, and probably it was true. You look at the Montreal Canadiens getting Dobish coming up and being that backup that they know when they need to give Montembeau a rest, that they can win a hockey game now. They can go out and win a game. They feel confident, and Dobish has given them that confidence. So Calgary now is feeling like they're getting good goaltending. You know, you lose Markstrom. They've seen a lot of good players vacate their organization over the years. That does leave a few dents in your fender. It does leave some of the players who are left behind, wondering if this thing is going to be able to get over the hump and get to the next step where they want to be. And certainly goaltending is a big part of it. And they've got enough players there that I believe that can get it done. It's a team that I like. I think they've got some good character there. I think the coaching change that they made a year or so ago has been really good for them. I think now getting their goaltending solidified, I think, gives this team some confidence moving forward. I think they're feeling it now.
So we're going to continue to kind of go about Canada with you gals. The other team in the province there, looking at the Edmonton Oilers, they've been, for a good run here, the best team in Canada. You know, they've been hot. Seems like they've solidified some of their D. That Ty Emberson has been pretty decent for them on the back end. They're getting better goaltending. You know, being how close they were to winning a cup last year, how badly do you think they need to add to what they are to get back to where they were?
I think they're still a real solid defenseman away.
Yeah.
I think Skinner has to be Skinner. I mean, that's without a doubt, right? I think they're a really good top four defenseman away from being able to slot people in the right slots and to go into a long, lengthy playoff run and to win. I really believe that. Up front, we all know the firepower they have up front. The question has always been, can the players adjust to a 200-foot game, not playing give one, get one type of game and hope that you win those games? Taking control of a game, playing to your identity, taking control of a game, winning one goal games. And as the playoffs got going, for Edmonton, they started to look like a team that was figuring that out. Now they got almost to the promised land and didn't get there. We saw Florida do that the year before, and then came out like gangbusters and got the Stanley Cup and learned a lot from it and went forward learning. I think you look at individual players who have to do that, and then you look at teams that have to do it. I just read a great story on Makar where Bednar is saying, like, you know, he had to overhaul his game a little bit. I'm like, how do you overhaul when you're the best at what you do? Well, you overhaul it because there is something in your game that is not quite right, and that was his defensive game, how he played his defensive game through a course of a hockey game. He wasn't happy with it. To his own admission, he said, look, I got to be better than I have been. I haven't liked my game. Now I like it. I feel like it is gained some girth in the defenseman part of it, the defensive part of it. I want to be a total player. And to his credit, that's what's happening. It's the same as the Edmonton Oilers. They've got all this offensive talent and they're that sexy sports car for sure. But in order to win a championship, you have to be able to win 1-0, 2-1, be losing 2-1 all the way through a third period, knowing that you're going to get that goal if you just stay to what you're doing. Don't veer off the track and try to go off the track into another area of what you shouldn't be doing, and then you give up the third and fourth goal. You've got to stay confident in what you're doing, what you believe in as a team, and then that's when everybody draws off of that, and the good teams do that. So I think Edmonton is getting there. I like the Edmonton Oilers. I do think that they could possibly get back to where they were last year because they've got the firepower. It always comes down to, can they defend well enough? Can their star players go out on a shift and not get anything and still come off the ice and feel like you had a good shift and you did your job?
You're watching.
That's important. Mm-hmm.
You're watching and listening to Gary Galley, color analyst with Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Just one more thing on the Oilers and Leon Draisaitl. I don't know if he truly gets the recognition for being one of the best hockey players in the world. Connor goes down, and like, to me, he's been on fire ever since and should be, in my opinion, you know, maybe leading in an MVP award this year. He's that good, but I don't know. Is it because it's behind Connor? Is it like, how good is he in your opinion?
Well, you can make a phone call to Rantanen in Colorado, ask him how he feels.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a star player, absolute star player. Like, five of the top 10 players in the world and are probably playing on two teams, Colorado and Edmonton. Draisaitl is in that category. He's a top 10 player, I believe. I think that, you know, you look at what he accomplishes. Everyone talks about Ovechkin, who scores from that same location all the time, and goes, how does he do it? Everyone knows he's going to be there. Everyone knows he's going to shoot the puck from there. How does he keep scoring from there? Well, you look at Draisaitl down on that low dot one-timer that he takes. And in the playoffs last year, he was banged up, so the puck didn't have enough mustard to get that extra split second to pass the goaltender, so they weren't going in. But, man, when he's healthy, I mean, he never misses, it seems. You know, he's really figured it out. And as a fan of the game, and I've been out of the game now for 23 years, I'm a fan of the game and the players in the game now. You know, they're so talented. You look at the players that are the supporting cast of the Stars and the Malkins. When Sidney's out, Malkin always tore it up. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like that guy who rides, you know, shotgun with the star player, and he's an alpha too, but he lets the other guy be the alpha, and he still goes about his business, does his job, plays great hockey, good team guy, and then when that other guy's not in the lineup, he steps it up even another notch to let everyone know, hey, I can carry this team. I can carry this team too, and that's the wonderful thing about those kind of players. And you know, it's hard to sit in the weeds when you have a star player like that. You know, that takes up all the attention. And like I said, in Colorado, a guy like Rantanen, you got Makar and you have MacKinnon, and then everyone thinks of Rantanen. You know, and he's such a dynamic player. As far as the Hart Trophy goes, you can put Draisaitl in there. MacKinnon certainly is in there. Always McDavid, but I think Connor Hellebuyck has to start being seriously looked at as the Hart Trophy winner at this juncture in the season. If I was voting, my first vote would go to Connor Hellebuyck as of today. Now, there's still a lot of real estate to go, but man, I did that Colorado Winnipeg game, and man, oh man, I was really, and I've seen him play a lot over the years, but I was like, man, this guy is having a Hart type season, and it's been, you know, what, 10 years since a goalie has won it. I think Carey Price, but yeah. Man, he's been really good.
He has played himself into that conversation for sure. Keep moving it east in the country here, looking at the Ottawa Senators. Fascinating team in that they started the year like everyone, I think, okay, they found it, they're back, they're in playoffs. They lost four to start the year. But they've won a couple in a row now. They're kind of they're one of the four teams there: Columbus, Ottawa, Detroit, even Montreal, all kind of, you know, pecking away at that spot. Is it just Allmark? Is that all they need to get them across the line? What do you make where the Sens are?
Well, I definitely think Allmark coming back healthy and getting.
Oh, we lost him. He doesn't like the Sens
for a wild card spot, oh. Right? But I will say this, that like Merlanen got the shutout last night. They come back and score three goals. You know what? This is a team that needs one more run. In the last half of the season, they need to have another 7-8 game run. And I think they put themselves in a really good position. Now, I don't mean that they can lose bunches of games in between, but if they can play around, you know, win a couple, lose one, lose a couple, win a couple, but have a nice run, another good run somewhere, I think they'll find themselves in one of those wild card spots. I really do. And if Allmark could come back and be healthy and stay healthy and play to his capabilities, I like the Senators to get one of those wild card spots.
As far as Detroit is concerned, nice little run for a team that, I don't know, we kind of gave up on a while ago, but they made the coaching change. And just your thoughts about maybe Detroit running toe-to-toe with an Ottawa team for that wild card you just mentioned?
Is it as simple as just the coaching change?
I don't know.
It's a good question. Is it that simple? Like, Boston made the coaching change, and it all went well for a period of time. And you know what? And I don't know if Boston's going to be able to get out of the way of the poor start they had. And I'm not sure that they're even through it yet. That's really a big question mark there in Boston for me. But they got an immediate jump on that. Detroit has seen an injection after the coaching change, and it's like they're a different team. I've watched them a couple of times, and it's playing with swagger. You know, like when you watch a team play, and the players, and only maybe a player recognize an ex player or someone who's around the game a lot recognizes when you're always a second and a half short, or you're a split second off of the puck, or a split second away from a check. To me, there's indecision in what you're trying to do as a team or your system or what your coaching staff has laid out for you. And the team is just not quite in sync with it. And I find there are some teams, and Detroit was one of them. When I watched them, I just always felt like, you know, they were thinking more than they were playing. And when you think too much, you know, when you think too much, you hurt the club. But it's like you got to play naturally, and you got to play in a system that the team feels naturally good playing in. So obviously when a coaching change comes in, maybe, you know, and I always say this automatically, you know, there's a top third of the team. There's players who are going to benefit from the coaching change. There are players who are not going to benefit from it. And some players will stay the same, but it looks like Detroit has done a nice job of grabbing their confidence. And they're, again, we talk about goaltending has gotten better. They've had some really tight games where they found a way to find ways to win those big tight games on some big goals. And, you know, again, we talked about it right off the start of the show, guys. That builds character. It builds excitement. It builds competitiveness within the team. And when you're celebrating wins, man, you forget the losses really quickly.
Right.
You know, when you're celebrating wins, and when you celebrate 2, 3, 4 in a row, all of a sudden the storm that was just in your head for a month is gone. And all that weight falls off you, and your feet feel lighter, and your hands feel better, and everything just seems to come when you're winning. And then we're seeing that with a few teams that are getting on some runs, and good on them. I think it's going to make for a great finish, and it's going to be fantastic. And I tip my hat to the Penguins and Mike Sullivan. A lot of people had Mike Sullivan written off, thinking not a bad coach, but maybe the shelf life is done, you know. But all of a sudden, he's found a way, and the Penguins have found a way, and you never count out Sid and that team. But they found a way to make themselves relevant in the race again. Now, again, we've got close to a half a season left to go here, so it's got a lot of real estate left to play out.
And is any team a better example of what you're talking about with Detroit than Montreal, where it's like, I mean, we were on this show, you know, firing coaches, trading players, whatever, and you check
they
in.
They stink.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, not just stink, like, what a mess. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, maybe they're not that bad. I mean, they've kind of pulled it together here, gals.
It's like, And as I said to you guys, because I always like to ask people too, like, do you think it could be this really? Like,
yeah.
Line A coming into the lineup.
Just slots guys somewhere better somehow?
He comes into the lineup. He's a guy that the team was super excited about. Their fan base was super excited about. This is a guy who has struggled and has had some issues over the last years. I kept thinking that they were expectations on Patrick Laine were a little bit too high. I thought, man, if he got you 15 goals, you should be thrilled. I was like you can't be sitting here thinking he's coming in potting 30 goals. Like, I didn't see that, you know, kind of thing happening. Well, it's not that he's going to score 30 goals, but he brings a bit of swagger. You know, his attitude, you know, and how he is on the bench and how he loosens up guys. And he goes out there and he sniped 9 power play goals. And he's just, you know, he's another guy that the team feels like we're taking a step forward with. And Kirby Dach has been another great story in the last 15 games for the Montreal Canadiens. This was a guy through the first part of the season that I started to really feel like, has this poor guy, through all these injuries he sustained, just won't be able to find himself again. He won't be able to be the Kirby Dach that everyone thinks he could be and should be. And, you know, and it's a shame to say something like that, but it happens. You know, you miss so many games, you get so out of it, your confidence gets so beaten. But he has really found himself again, where I was watching games where every time he took the puck, he made something happen. He was dangerous, which you would expect, and what the Canadians need. They need a second-line center. They were moving him up to the wing with Suzuki, just trying to get him going. But now you slot him back into that spot. Evan slots into a better slot. Everyone slots down the middle better, and all of a sudden they're scoring goals. They're scoring goals. They're getting better goaltending. Dobish has come in and done a marvelous job. Heck, and I know you guys have heard this already, and it's repeating it, but they went on that road trip. They took down, what, yeah, 3 or 4 Stanley Cup champions?
Yeah.
In the last little while? I mean, this is a team, Florida, Tampa, Colorado. That Colorado game was a gutsy win for them. Coming out of Chicago, losing that game after they outshot them, outplayed them, came into Colorado, and first period was kind of okay, but periods 2 and 3, they outplayed the Avalanche. So, you know, I'm really happy to see what's happening in Montreal. I'm absolutely thrilled. This is a team that, you know, I think needs this. They need this. Their players need this to understand that, you know, there is a light there and there is something that they can play for. And I think they're feeling like they're in the hunt now. And we're going to see a different team in the back half of this schedule. I think they're going to be a very competitive team.
Gals, one more for me, and I'm going to use your 1,149 games in the NHL at the highest level, full of big money egos on a daily basis. And we've seen this ongoing saga in Vancouver for over a month now between the relationships of JT Miller and Pettersson. And most recently we saw another report out of Boston between Pasternak and Marchand. And, you know, some of these reporters who want to be the first to report this type of thing, you know, in your opinion, do they even know what they're looking for, or, you know, understand the dynamics of an NHL dressing room to really, truly put something together of this type of magnitude of a storyline here, in your opinion?
I, you know, if I'm giving, you know, I mean, obviously there's the cliched answer, you know, well, you know, there's always going to be trouble within family has infighting. You know, hey, Nick and Borny, you guys know, you've been around hockey families and you've been around hockey your whole lives. There's infighting all the time. There's always a Donnybrook in the dressing room. There's always something during a practice where someone crosses a line. There's always frustration with line mates. And you can't, I mean, imagine when line mates stayed together for like years. And, you know, if you don't think back in the day, Daryl Sittler, Lanny McDonald, and Tiger Williams had some down and outs, you're crazy. Like, you're telling me in the island, those guys didn't win all those cups without beating the crap out of each other once in a while too. Like, it happens. Okay. The difference of this is, I don't know how the media gets the information. I really am not, I'm not out looking for that information ever, guys. I don't go trying to look for negative information. I love the game. I want to try to find the best in the game. But I do know there are issues within teams. I do think that the story is always more in depth and there's more to it than even the media ever finds out. I think there are more things going on in Vancouver than just two guys not getting along or one guy asking more from another guy and whatever. I think there's always more than that, whether it's personally or whatever. This stuff doesn't get this far without that. The Boston one, I have less to think about because I've gotten to know those two guys over the years and I don't see anything there really at all. You know, and if they had a little bit of something, those two guys are going to get over it and it's going to move along. That's the way they operate there. And so, there's always going to be that going on. It's not that it doesn't happen. It's the ability to let it go after it happens, you know, and I was in the dressing room and I was on the ice in practice in Boston and Andy Moog and Bob Sweeney got into a fight on the ice. And that went into the locker room and then it got into the locker room. And Ray Bourque and Cam Neely ended up in the middle of it trying to break it up. And someone was pulling Ray's hair. He was screaming. It was like, you know, it's just like a Donnybrook in the room. So the next day, what happens? How does the team handle this? Everyone goes home, can't sleep at night, whatever? No. Everyone goes home and thinks how they're going to mess with this. So they start sending flowers to the guy from one another. So Andy gets some flowers sent from Bob Sweeney. Bob gets some flowers sent from Andy Moog. When they get in the locker room the next day, there's two boxing robes in their locker rooms. One says the Penticton Punisher. One says the Boston Mangler on it. And all of a sudden, what was this serious thing and eye gouging all of a sudden.
Becomes a joke.
It was comedic.
Yeah.
It was serious. These guys were mad. They were angry. But the team around them lightened it up. And it was done with and whatever. And those guys are still great friends. And it's you can't be around family every single day and playing with the competitiveness that these guys play with and not expect to have a few dust ups and a few, I've heard this and you guys have heard this. There are guys on your team you would never have to your house for dinner. You know,
many.
but when you step on the ice, you respect them as players, respect them as teammates, and you go play. And that's the way it is. That's the way it always is going to be. But that Boston one was a beauty. It was, I see Andy. When I see Andy, I always laugh. Just seeing that Penticton Punisher on his boxing robe in the stall was just was priceless.
I'd leave a plate on the porch for Sammy. Hey, gals, great perspective on that, man. That's awesome stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Always enjoy the games, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks for your time, Gary.
Great Boston Bruins dust-up story, isn't it?
That is, hey.
And I would
pick the pipe. That could be your nickname. That's pretty close to your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
I wouldn't send you guys flowers. I'd send you chocolates so we could eat them.
I'd crush them, yeah.
We should go. We'll do game time after the break.
All right, game time. You heard my producer, one of the top in the business, Sammy McKee. Back after these words.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Borden, Sammy McKee. A reminder, this hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. As we go around the league a little bit, Sammy, what do you got?
Game time before we get into that.
All right, go ahead. Let it rip.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, latest odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So we're coming off of the NFL weekend. I know you guys watch closely as I'm trying to pull it up on my phone here. I was wondering who you think is the favorite heading into the Super Bowl, heading into this next weekend.
I think you're Bills. Giving, yeah, is it not the Bills?
The favorite to win the Super Bowl at this moment is the Detroit Lions. There are four teams ahead of my Buffalo Bills.
How dare they?
I was present for that. It cost me 2 weeks of my life. The Detroit Lions are +300. The Kansas City Chiefs are +350, Ravens +450, Eagles +450, and the Buffalo Bills all the way down at 5-1.
We just want the Bills to win for your sake.
I'm desperate for the Bills to win. I'm not even the most diehard Bills fan, but this feels like the year. They got a really tough matchup coming up this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens, which should be a fantastic football game.
Great quarterback matchup.
It's the premier game Sunday night, 6:30. Should be a good one. Looking at the NHL tonight, the Edmonton Oilers are hosting the LA Kings. Fantastic game.
Really good.
This is a little bit of a hunch play. You guys were talking. You asked Gals a question. You love to say, oh, this guy get enough credit. Leon Draisaitl is one of the heart. Like, everyone talks about how incredible he is.
No, I don't think
he gets enough credit.
Had him at plus 2,500 for the heart 3 weeks ago.
I don't think.
He gets enough credit.
No.
He gets credit heaped on him.
I love Leon
Draisaitl. Me too. A big fan of his. So how about this tonight? Give me Leon Draisaitl as the first goal scorer tonight in LA Kings versus Edmonton at an 8-1 shot. Give me a Leon Draisaitl as the first goal scorer in the game tonight.
I saw Greg Wyshynski tweeted by points percentage, if playoffs were today, who it would be. Toronto, Ottawa would play. Which
Let me
is
guess,
really cool.
LA, Edmonton?
LA.
Yeah, shocker.
That's where that was going.
LA.
Yeah.
Shocker. They play every year.
Yeah, they do. It's like Dallas, Edmonton back in the day. Yeah. This is the new
great,
yearly
great
matchup.
Observation.
Yeah. Thank you.
LA won 5 in a row before losing to Calgary, and
I think LA of all the years they've played.
How about them waving Cali?
I think they look the best this year that they've looked.
Doughty's coming back.
Yeah,
they've tried for a year and a half, 2 years to find a place for Cali.
It just
didn't click.
Yeah,
just
Rangers got him.
Yeah,
crazy. I'm going to wrap up game time. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's for 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
One thing I wanted to throw out there. Right now, as of today, using points percentage, every team in Canada is inside the league's top 20. Actually, 6 of the 7 teams are inside the top 16 playoff cut line.
Nice.
Montreal is sniffing.
EA is just somewhere. An angel grew his wings. So fired up about that.
I don't know. When would the last time have been that all 7 Canadian teams would be in the top 20? I can't remember it. So this must be the year the Cup comes home? It's coming home?
When was the last time they all made the playoffs? Like 8 years ago?
Has it happened?
No, yeah, it's happened. Yeah.
Since Sportsnet had the packet?
Yeah. I think there was...
Did any make it to the second round?
One year we had them all in.
Yeah.
Or was it 6 or 7? I can't remember, but it was really... close.
Yeah. You need Montreal and Ottawa to stay hot for that to be, well, Calgary too.
A couple things the weekend. Did you want to do Eric Staal or the
Flyers? Well, what do we think Flyers? About, Flyers. Yeah, Jamie Drysdale got a warm...
Eric Staal's a great way to go.
Warm, we're doing...
No. Oh, I'm okay. Saying way to go, Eric Staal, whatever.
The Flyers and Anaheim, a big deal over Cutter Gauthier.
Right? Gotcha. Now Coming we're back. Talking. That's a juicy one. By the way, Gally was talking. He's like, I don't know who digs into this stuff and looks for this stuff. I like to focus on the positive stories. Enjoy. And I was listening to him being like, that must be nice to have a heart that pure. Like, you know, our show, we're just like,
what's
give us
the biggest wound we can pick at?
Give me the dirt. National Enquirer. Yeah. Sorry. Cutter Gauthier is certainly the dirt. So he goes back. He asked out of Philly. The fans didn't like it. He goes to Anaheim. They get Jamie Drysdale for him. This is his first time back in Philly, and the fans openly in full Philly fashion chanted, F you, Cutter, like on repeat.
I'm not sure what you would expect out of the Philadelphia faithful. This is kind
of fury from the Philadelphia faithful.
This is kind of their move.
This is like... Yeah, this is generational.
Yeah.
Passing over
from
Broad
Street
bully
days. Do you see the Philly guy throwing punches at the 2 Leafs fans that were there?
Yeah. Throwing pillows.
Like basket of muffins.
That bothers me.
Me too. You can't lump in the whole fan base with something.
Like, why would I want to go to a hockey game now thinking like somebody may punch me because I'm cheering too loudly or I'm wearing the wrong uniform?
Yeah.
Like that's a safety issue that
that's
we
why
want
they have,
nothing to do with.
In Europe, that's why like they have the sections.
Yeah, they're like, you can't sit near
right,
each other.
This guy, like you're going to sit with all the other supporters. Anyways, I thought that it was a pretty good route, and this is going to be his whole career. I mean, thank God he plays in Anaheim, and he's going to have to deal with this once a season. But this is they're never going to forget. This is going to be Tavares in Long Island his whole career, right? And then, did you want to hear what Torres had to say?
Oh, yeah, sure. So let's check in with Torts.
Because they got asked about it a little bit. So play that clip for me, Derek.
That room obviously knew the outside noise coming into this game. Do you feel like that fuels them a little bit in the sense that they want to give the crowd what they came for?
I have no idea. I think it's a bunch of...
a good game, playing a solid game.
All I told our team is let's worry about ourselves and play a hockey game. For you guys. All the drama and all that's for you guys to whatever you need to do with it. All I was concerned about, and I expressed it to the guys, let's play the game the proper way, especially how badly we played the prior game.
I deny the scolding and I will not accept it. That's the coach's job to say it doesn't matter. It matters.
Let me tell you.
It can... behind the scenes, but it cannot publicly.
Right.
I watched, they do like, every team does their version of the Leaf or whatever, where they put out the clip of the locker room and give out a belt too in Philly. And Travis Konecny goes over and he gives it, and he's like, that's our guy. Gives it to Drysdale.
Who had a couple assists.
Yeah, he scored. Yeah, he scored in the city.
Yeah.
And the whole team, one of the funniest in a dressing room videos I've ever seen, gave him a 2.5 minute standing ovation, and they all just kept getting
near
close.
Him.
No, they all like they started far away, and all of them just started like surrounding him and just would not stop clapping.
Really great moment.
It was really
for
good.
Him.
Yeah. And he's been up and down. He's been injured, and like there's been a lot of questions about
injuries. Is a huge thing with him.
Yeah,
but it sounds like it went beyond hooray for you, and eventually just got awkward and uncomfortable.
There is a ton of pressure on Drysdale to come in now in that market.
It's got to feel pretty good
and be the guy right now because. Gauthier was a top prospect and a lot of promise to be a frontline forward for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, Drysdale has to come in and be a quarterback now for
them.
But
unfortunately, they are tied together, and that it does depend how Gauthier does. Gauthier the next night goes out and has a couple of goals.
Including the overtime winner.
Yeah,
bad against Carolina.
There. Yeah. But, you know, like if Gauthier's a bum, then it's different. But if Gauthier's great, then people are going, oh, you got to be as good as the great guy.
Yeah.
So like, you're tied to the other guy's success.
100%.
Expectations-wise.
Absolutely.
All right.
So I just thought it was a good, the Eric Staal thing, but you kind of,
well,
I know you hate these conversations.
I've heard this quite.
These are my favorite.
A joked pre-show, like, is
what,
hot dog
a
sandwich?
Question.
Yeah, I hate it. Let's have it.
But, I mean, he got his number retired. It's a relevant topic. We do a sports talk hockey show. Is Eric Staal a Hall of Famer?
See, here's why I hate it. It takes work to answer this accurately, pour through the numbers, who's available, how many people per year, go through it, yada, yada.
That's no fun. First blush.
Blush thought is no.
Me too.
You know, like that I think he is an unbelievable player. He's a captain.
Hall of very, very good.
So good. Like, exceptional player who's had a ton of success. Like, people think when you say no, you're taking away from the player, but I'm really trying to heap praise on the Hall itself and how exclusive that club is. It should be very hard to get in.
It is only getting harder, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, it would be an automatic. You play 1,000 games, right? You have decent numbers. You're going to get in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
And that's, like, done. Now it's over. Now it's... Then it kind of swung into major awards.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Stanley Cup really, really helps.
I mean, he is triple gold, too, right?
But now...
Which is a huge... That's it. Please. Are you kidding me? That's such an exclusive club.
You know, don't that includes the World Championship that you got knocked out in didn't make the playoffs in?
Triple gold club matters.
Stop it with a triple. I'll give you an Olympic.
Oh, you're nuts.
I'll give you an Olympic medal.
This is an insane thing to say.
World Championship in a watered down...
World Junior might hold as much weight.
We didn't make the playoffs. Do you want to go? Yeah, we'll turn it into a vacation. Let's go. It's May.
Don't
give me World Championship as a measuring stick to make the Hall of Fame.
The thoughts and views of Nick Kyprios do not reflect me.
Okay. So, outside of that,
we do not agree.
You know, was he a huge, impactful player for them? We know this. They had the Stanley Cup real early in his career, much like Cam Ward, but they never him and the team never got really to that level again.
You know, one of the things, and you talk about awards, it's like, was he ever the best player? near one of the best players in the league? Were you top five in the league for a 5-10 year run? Were you top 10 in the league for a run? Did you get Hart Trophy votes or win a Hart Trophy? You know, Staal on those teams, he maybe cracked a top 10 in the NHL for a year or two. Is that fair? Like, in terms of where, I'm trying to find his awards votes.
So 13, there we go. He played 1,365 games, 455 goals, 608 assists, 1,063 points. I mean,
Hart Trophy votes in four different years.
I see you threw in my lineup. He made the All-Star team six times and won the MVP in 2008.
Can I be totally honest with you?
The same All-Star game where Ovi went down to Florida.
John Scott won an MVP.
To the beach.
I copy and pasted that from the sports. I didn't read it, pal.
Did you think any of this was written by Sammy?
Yeah. Nothing is ever copy and paste king right here, bud.
Like Eric Staal, he had an amazing career. He made a ton of money. But this one's going to be a tough one here. In how many points did he have?
In his career?
Yeah.
1,063.
1,063, 1,300 games.
So many points.
450 goals.
I think he gets in. I think he's a Hall of
Famer. He certainly has a case.
He's got the credentials.
If he got in, I wouldn't be like,
longevity,
that was undeserving.
The longevity and the points.
Longevity matters.
104 playoff
games. Did he win any major award?
No, just the Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay. That doesn't help him.
No Selke? No?
Nope. No. Anyways.
Okay. Anyways.
Good talk. See you
good
there.
Talk.
Oh, so we all settled on, I guess, but
well,
probably.
That's kind of how that ends. Yeah. It's like, is John Tavares a Hall of Famer?
His number retired. He's like, and then we just shot him down for Hall of Fame. Sammy, feel good about yourself on a Monday. We got to make the guy and his family feel not great that three of us think he's not a Hall of Famer now. Thanks, Sam.
There you go, Sam.
Thanks.
Yeah, I really do feel good about it. Hey, we talked it out. We initially said no, and then we had the conversation about his credentials, and we all said he probably gets
come
in.
Back to maybe.
So there you go. Got all the way back to maybe, baby.
All right.
Jordan Staal.
Maybe.
So Ottawa Senators had a decent goaltending performance from a goaltender who I am unfamiliar with. I still feel like I would like to see them make a trade. Like, just get in. Separate yourselves from the pack a little bit.
But they are, like, 12 teams right now.
Yeah.
Saying the same thing. They would love to.
Yeah. Hard.
They need, in a perfect world, a top four right-handed defenseman.
Mm.
That's what they're looking for.
You know what else Ottawa wants? That new arena. And there's an article on our website right now. Senators NCC continue down the long and winding road to arena deal at LeBreton Flats from Wayne Scanlon.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, Kip?
Yeah.
Because you had some involvement.
Yeah, we did. And it was a beast. My group didn't really like that location. It was really limited it starts at about 8 acres and goes to like maybe 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot of room to do a lot of things, including in a perfect world, you want a practice facility or something close.
Right, yeah.
Right? I know, like, in a perfect world, they'd like their American Hockey League team right in Ottawa.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, that would make sense.
It's in Belleville now.
Sure nice for the Leafs.
But
helps.
It seems like
calling guys up across the hall.
Well, I mean, Lauer would
probably the same amount of time to get down the Gardner that it does to get from Belleville to Ottawa.
There's lots of talk about Ann Lauer putting it in Hamilton, but you want a scenario where you could work with a team right beside you. Like the Leafs here in Toronto have the Marlies just down the street. You need to make an adjustment to the salary cap.
I mean, they literally share the Ford Performance Center. They're both there. They're there. Like, you take your bag and you walk in the building, the Leafs room. So it is a true luxury for them.
Oh. All right, Sammy, good job.
Thanks, man.
Really good job. Good recovery.
Hoping we get the other Gary on.
Gary Bettman Thursday.
Week. We're hoping.
Unless.
I'm not promising.
Unless he's not on.
Don't say anything.
Tweet saying he's coming
don't
on
say anything to piss him off between now and Thursday.
I won't. I'll even maybe wear an NHL hat on the show when he comes.
Rob Lowe?
Yeah, I have one. So I'll be over here.
You too.
Our thanks to Gord Stellick in our first Leaf Edition hour, and then Gary Galley, who does it as good as anybody when it comes to covering NHL hockey across this great country.
Oh, Canada. Every team in the top 19.
Woo! Hey, Oilers Kings night. Gonna rock. Let's go.
Great game.
All right. Enjoy it. And we're back here tomorrow. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review and ratings, whatever they call it.
Yeah, you nailed
it. And YouTube channel as well. Download us.